Hi, this is Michael Dorn, Lieutenant Commander Worf from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated TNG show. I'm Daniel Prue, sitting in the center chair this week, and joining me as always are my two co-hosts. I have the almighty and powerful Darren and his wife, Philip. How are you guys doing today?
We're the last surviving podcasters on the network. The whole planet's been decimated.
Yes, there's only one mic left on this tiny little square of green. So how are you guys doing?
Well, our listener numbers are not great. I just want to point that out. But I have to say, we are living up to the title of the show. Would you like some more tea here, Daniel? I've got plenty.
All right. Well, today we are talking, from that silly intro, we're talking season three. But we're going to follow up here with our TNG Essentials show. We've done seasons one and two so far. If you're not familiar with the concept, if you haven't listened to our previous episodes or a couple of the other shows on the network that has done this, we just kind of go through each episode in a season and we talk about whether or not we think it's quote unquote essential. Now, that is, of course, arbitrary. It doesn't really mean much. But what we mean by it is it matters in some sort of fashion, be it continuity, character development, maybe in just it's such a quintessential episode of that series. There's a lot of leeway given, I think, is fair to say. But luckily, because we have three hosts, I think normally it's pretty easy to come down on one side or the other. Although Philip does seem to kind of want to keep pretty much everything.
My motto is that which survives.
Nice, nice. So we've done season one. We've done season two. We had some pretty good results there. So let's just jump right into it. Let's do, unless you guys have anything else to say, let's do evolution. An obsessed scientist arrives on the Enterprise D to perform a once-in-a-lifetime experiment. Accidentally released nanites, however, threaten both it and the ship.
Wesley! This is
Dr. Paul Stubbs, in case you're unaware. What do you think, Philip? Keep her, get rid of it.
Well, I think this is really the egg that Stubbs laid. I think this is how this episode is known by. It's good. I will say it is a very repetitious theme in not only TNG, but in all of Star Trek, of we discovered these things that are really alive. Are they, you know, robots? No. Oh, is it the ugly bags of mostly what? No. I see how you're getting confused. Is it? And so, yeah.
It's like, it's that episode where the ship comes alive. Well, is it? No. Actually, no, it's not that one. It's...
No. I can't think of anything per se. I mean, other than introducing the concept of nanites, but then we kind of ignore it until we rediscover the Borg. Spoilers. I can't really think of anything remarkable about this episode. It's not bad, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of any reason why I'm ambivalent so far. Other than, guys, this episode might be essential. We find out Wesley is a wonder kind.
Well, we already knew that. Well, and this is interesting because, as we'll see as we get towards the very end of season three, where big season beginnings and season endings become big deals, this is just an episode. Like, it's like, hey, we're back from the break. And, it establishes that that Beverly's back, you know. But
oh, that's true. But, now, that actually... That is very true.
But they don't exactly explain why she was gone, so...
Yeah, and I don't feel like it was significant in any meaningful way that they couldn't have just moved a scene into the next episode.
Right, but you will be like, if you don't have it, you'll just be like, you'll go from... Wait, we didn't keep Shades of Grey. You'll go from... what was the last one?
Last one we kept was Peak Performance.
You'll go from Peak Performance to whatever's next, and you'll be like, wait, where'd Pulaski?
Well, but her name is in the opening title crawl, so you would know that she's there. So it's not a surprise.
I will say, in production, in the sense of production, it is a it just doesn't help keep it at all, because there's no explanation given in universe. But obviously the show looks very different here with the brighter
guys,
lighting.
If we don't keep this, what episode's going to introduce the collars?
The next episode. It's not like they're the introduced.
Yeah, so basically what we're saying is not any real reason to keep this episode.
I could leave it.
Well, yeah. No, I think what's essential about this episode is that it sets up baseball, which is later.
I was actually thinking of that same thing. I'm like, it does set up. There are a few things that Star Trek seems to love to come back to, and baseball is probably low on that list. But it does seem that, you know, it shows up a lot for
it
something.
Was a long game. They already knew they were doing this for the next series.
Well, that's because the whoever the writer was, I can't remember that specific writer who loved baseball. He moved on to Deep Space Nine, and that's why we got all that. I say, for the new series, guys, leave baseball behind.
I'm telling you, I have two words for you. Water polo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody in the future is going to love water polo. Anyways, we're getting off track. We're leaving evolution behind, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Daniel, I never thought you'd be the one. It's evolution. Yeah.
Okay, all right. This will be an interesting one. Next up, the Ensigns of Command. Data must convince a colony of 15,000 people to evacuate before the aliens who own the planet arrive.
When does it become worthy of an episode, Daniel? 100 people? 1,000? 1,000,000?
This is an interesting episode, Darren. Why don't you start?
Now, this is the one with the Shellyak, right?
This is the Shellyak.
Okay, then,
episode.
Yeah. I'd say it's got a strong, I guess, B plot with Picard, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he, like, out. This is the Kirk talking the computer to death-ness of Picard, where he gets all his pads, his 20 pads, he puts them out on his desk, and he looks at the minutiae of the contract, of the treaty, and he finds a way to have the delegators be a hibernating species on the other side of the quadrant. So, which is strong. And the A plot is not too bad either, because Data's in command for that mission. You know, I often get this one mixed up with the one where he loses his memory, but
Thine Own Self. Oh, pulled that out of nowhere.
Wow.
Look at that.
Well, good thing it wasn't a Q episode. But
Q Thine Own Self.
Thine Own Q. But I think the A plot, while not like an absolutely amazing episode, is still pretty good, because you get Data in command, be it an away mission. I still don't know exactly why he was, you know, on his own, but.
Because the atmosphere couldn't take anyone else.
That's right.
And they didn't think anyone was living there.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, Darren, because the environment was so harsh, my grandfather built that aqueduct. It is
that
a testament.
Right there.
Well, you don't have to point at it. There's one aqueduct in this entire planet. So.
No, it's actually just green screen.
Oh, aqueduct. It's only a model. So so I vote yes on two good reasons.
Oh, no,
this
is a hard yes. Are you kidding me?
Okay,
Not only do you get Data badass, because, I mean, if I remember correctly, this episode starts off with, like, 10 forward performance, and Data goes over to Jean-Luc and Beverly, who are just friends. Yeah.
Like you said Jean-Luc and Beverly, and I'm like, wait, would I miss something?
Yeah, exactly, because you didn't see the first episode, Evolution. What's she even doing there? But like, he's like, guys, you should skip this performance because it's me playing and I suck. And they're like, you shouldn't always tell the truth. And so I think that's the lesson of this episode. You don't always tell the truth. No, that wasn't the other. It was that, you know, over honesty and how to be a good commander. And then he ends up like, yeah, I love the little play acting he does with his like plant in the audience. Like, oh, but we will tell this to our children. But what children? Yes, you random stranger.
Yes, you, man in the back. Yes.
Who I've never seen before. But no, I think it is cool, because you get Data just blowing it up. Like, that's Data's solution.
Yeah.
That's
See, Data Kobayashi needs to go away from comedy, because that doesn't work. But instead, and I'm gesturing with my imaginary cigar, but no, he needs to go to drama. Like, this is where all the Shakespeare lessons are paying off.
Yeah.
Listen. And then just the Picard owning the Shellyak.
Oh, he so just, owns them.
You know. And then Riker blanketing grin at the end, you know, you enjoyed that. You're damned right.
So, okay, remember, guys, essential is not...
Awesome, essentially awesome.
...is not a measurement of quality. So we're not saying whether or not this is a good episode or whether we like this episode.
Way to bring us because back on track. There we go.
Because I do... I also love the Shelly X stuff, and it's awesome. And I even like the Data stuff, and he gets a kiss at the end, right, I believe, as well. So there is a lot here that's good...
I would say there's a lot of good development in Data's character and in Picard's, and not so much development in Picard, but it's reveal.
I do agree with that.
I feel like this would go better if we all were like in chairs and we could hit a button and then there'd be a big X over the episode. And if you get at least two X's, the episode moves on to LA or wait, hold on.
No, I agree. I would say that the strongest case for me is that Picard, we get the strongest case of diplomatic Picard here.
Yeah.
And what that means and what that will mean for that character in the future. I'm not entirely convinced that that's enough, but it sounds like you guys have made up your minds.
This is
but
your season three opener now.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I would be fine opening this up for the season.
But for the future, remember, it's not quality. Because we may have to leave some quality episodes behind here in season three.
So next is the bonding, right? That's what we're jumping to?
No, unfortunately not yet. We will hit that soon, though. So right now, 50%. Not too shabby.
Data, run the numbers. Wait, that took you way too long.
Leroy! Oh, sorry, different number running.
So moving on, we have the survivors. The Enterprise investigates two survivors living on the only undamaged patch of land on a devastated planet. The great and all-powerful Kevin. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Because we can't make that joke anymore if we don't.
That's my point. Like, this episode is so good. Not sure if there's actually any reason other than it... I don't know. There's nothing... What's here to keep this anchored here? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, it is... It's one of those where you think back on it and you're not like, oh, that's right. That was that episode, you know, that was in that season that this could have been a season one episode or a season two episode or season three. Like it, nothing anchors it in my mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I can't really think of anything that would cause me to, oh God, guys, why can't I keep this episode in my mind? Guys.
And I love this episode. I love this episode, but I don't know. I mean, nothing of consequence happens. Yeah. We're not going to remember. Like, unfortunately, that would be cool if Kevin showed back up on Voyager or something.
It's pretty much just lines. No. Like, good tea, nice house, and...
Yeah, that sticks with you. You know?
To me, it's a very... and I say this complimentary. It's a very TOS episode, actually. Where you have this mystery, and it's really like, oh, it's a god. You know, I mean, that's a very TOS-y. It's almost like Requiem for Methuselah or along those lines or something of like, you think this regular guy and he turns out to be like, oh no. So, I mean, I think it's a good tale. Like we've always said, and it's very TNG essentially. So I feel like if you're both going to vote no, I'm going to vote yes. Cause I feel like it does have essential TNG message, but my heart won't break if we don't keep.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really could consider the survivors being absolutely essential.
And don't get me wrong, I love this episode. So, but no, it's not. It's nothing that. I mean, yeah, it's not. This is not quality. I gotta keep reminding myself, not quality.
And also, they could have done so much better with, like, I guess what they did with Troy. Like, she's kind of wasted on this episode. They pretty much had to make this whole plot point to incapacitate her, not telepathy, but empathic. For some, no.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, survivors. Don't worry. We'll still watch you and love you. Next up, who watches the Watchers?
Yeah.
The Enterprise the Enterprise must undo the damage when a primitive civilization discovers a Federation observation team and concludes that the Starfleet personnel are gods.
I mean, I think throw it out. You have Insurrection coming up. Why keep this one?
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So keep. I mean, listen, this is one of my
essential. If you had to pick one per season, essential. Yeah. It's on that level.
Wow, I think that's an exaggeration, but
well, I kind of agree, but I mean, well,
I'm not saying it's the one you pick for the season, but if you were having contenders for one a season, this would be definitely in the running. It's that strong.
It would be a seed. I'll give you that.
I mean, of course, you're going up against Yesterday's Enterprise and Best of Both Worlds just because of the season.
Right.
But yes, absolutely. I do agree. I mean, this is
quintessential. It just wanted to be a contender, Daniel, and I think it can have that.
This is the hardcorest TNG episode I can think of. Like, this is TNG in one episode to me. And I love it. I love it for all those things. And it's got some good Riker Troy stuff. I mean, there's just so much good about this episode. We get, of course, all of the stuff that we pick back up in Insurrection. We get a lot of Prime Directive talk. I mean, it's just so infused with Star Trek. Like, this episode is inseparable from TNG to me.
And I like how it starts, you know, Mazen scene. It's like right there in the middle of the action. Like, they're on the planet and they got to figure stuff out, and they're already undercover, and yeah, look, we always think of the, you know, the Picard stuff, but there's a ton that happens before that with Riker and Troy that's really good. So it's a really solid episode.
Now, we did keep pen pals, right?
Yes,
because this episode references pen pal.
Well, then I think it's a slam dunk right there.
Right. And that's the only reason, because this is the only time we get Crusher mentioning Pulaski.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Picard mentions Pulaski in our presence.
Oh, yeah. I'm aware.
Never.
Of Dr. Pulaski's.
And then she doesn't do it right. So, like, you
never
who's
speak
cocky
that
now,
name
Beverly?
Before me in my presence.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Are you going to say yes, Philip? You're probably going to say yes anyways, huh?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to rain on your parade, Daniel.
Just for fun. We got Rain Cloud Philip over here just because. All right, that's fine. You're still going to lose. So there.
I mean, this is the spiritual heir to justice. So, I mean, I guess we can keep it.
So, oh man, I can't believe I'm about to do this to my wonderful Who Watches the Watchers. But can we count Justice, Who Watches the Watchers, and Insurrection as one giant trilogy of?
I think so. I think we could.
Is it the trilogy that gets really bad in the third part? Because that's what it feels like.
No, it's the trilogy that's only good on the second. That's the second oh, okay. one. So
it's the Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy.
Anyways, moving on. We're keeping Who Watches the Watchers, and I'm going to say yes for Philip too, just because. I can do that. I'm in the center chair this week. So, moving on, the bonding. Worf decides to take into his house the child of a slain subordinate, but the child is having trouble accepting his mother's death, especially when she mysteriously reappears. Now, guys, I normally let you go first, except for that last episode and this one, because, I mean, come on. Jeremy Astor. We see him with Worf. We see him at Worf and Jadzia's wedding. We see him become a house, part of the house of Martog. Come on. I mean, this guy, he is so important to Star Trek lore.
Alexander are like playing all the time.
What season were you guys watching? Because I don't remember any of that happening.
It's funny because it is an episode that seems like it would have lasting repercussions.
Now, can we say it's essential for anything it reveals about Worf and Klingon culture or anything like that? I'm just pulling at straws here.
No, see, no. Oh, I can go off on this episode. I think it is essential because, to me, it answers a question perhaps that people weren't asking. But, you know, having children on the Enterprise-D, because remember, this is what separates TNG from basically every other series. I mean, it's the only one where ostensibly children are on board the ship. And it deals with death head on. I mean, is the alien a little hokey, you know, and you know, whatever. But I think the issue, especially where you have the Troy and Picard, you know, talking about this issue, you have Wesley confronting Picard. I'll hand quote that, confronting Picard. But you have this interesting dynamic of where you have, you know, in that room, you have Worf, Wesley, Picard, Jeremy, and you have those dichotomy that Picard was in charge of the away team that killed Wesley's father. Worf was in charge of the away team that killed Jeremy's mother, and you have the four of them talking. And so I think, you know, if you don't like the Worf and Jeremy Astor, you do have some good Wesley Jean-Luc time of like, where I don't know if it's, is it Beverly or no, I think it's Deanna who kind of prompts Wesley, like, you can say it now. Now is the time you can actually say it of what happened and what you felt about Picard. He's like, I hated you or whatever, but then I got over it and, you know, da da da. So I think that was a very revealing moment.
And this could be the first part in the sequel, or maybe we can find another part for a trilogy with the, what is it, hero worship later, you know, with traumatic children bonding to members of the senior staff.
Is this part of the pack that starts with, like, Charlie X and then...
Oh, boy.
Well, and then you have Naomi Wildman.
That's right.
I mean, you could just... this is just a running theme in Star Trek.
I'm on the fence about
this. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence, too. Like, it's a really strong, you know, call for it that Philip made, but I just... essential towards for its Star Trekness. But like you said, that parts with Wesley and like Wesley revealing like what he felt, like he's never said that before.
Yeah, the Wesley stuff to me is probably the strongest argument for this. Although, of course, we do get a little bit of Klingon tradition stuff, which isn't super important, but is also kind of a backdrop. And also, I'm kind of tempted to say yes, just because this episode gives us Ron Moore. But of course that's behind the scenes, so that doesn't count.
Was this his first episode?
Yeah, this was the first episode he wrote, I believe, if I remember correctly. I'm torn. I don't know, Darren, you pick.
Oh, jeez.
I say yes. I mean, do you hate children or do you love children?
He asks the only parent on the show right now.
Just to underscore the fact that we're not just picking what we feel are the best episodes, and again, to focus on a lot of the interpersonal. This is a very, like, there's no starships they're fighting in this one. It's all how you deal with being on a starship, and that's, you know, that's pretty important. So I'll go with yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fair. But the one thing that would have pushed me over the edge is one line at some point from anybody about Jeremy Astor. Just one line. Hey, how's Jeremy doing, Worf? Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Oh, Worf, you mean if they actually ever talked about it again?
Yeah.
Don't they? Like, do they even not like any other episode?
I remember.
What happened was Worf sent Jeremy to go live with his parents. And
they were like, wonder, boy, you know, this is so much easier than a Klingon child. I have all the ships and diagrams.
I wonder if they mention him in the novels.
In the novelverse.
Let us know, because I would be interested to hear that. But that is a yes for us. I think I'm correct, bringing us back, no, a little bit above 50% now.
Just a little over.
We're going to move on to Booby Trap. While investigating a 1,000-year-old alien derelict, the Enterprise gets caught in the same energy trap which doomed that vessel a millennium ago. What do you guys think of Booby Trap?
Now, this is dangerous territory here, because if we say no to this one, we have to say no to the next one.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, we have to say yes.
Yeah,
And then we have to say no to all good things.
To all good things, which is absolutely not happening. Yeah, no, we have to.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, I definitely say keep it. I mean, not just for, as we've talked about in our episode where we talk about using the holodeck as a toolkit. You know, this is a great example of that. But also, you get Picard in the pilot seat, which is really cool. And they kind of reinforce, you know, that he does know how to fly the ship, even if it's not from the center seat. And it's a critical thinking, you know, everyone's got to, Geordi's doing, you know, he's carrying the burden of that, but everyone's trying to figure out how to solve this problem. And there are stakes. It's a very well constructed episode of television.
Well, it's more Fugili than steak, but I get it. and I'm trying to remember, is this the first out and out mention of Utopia Planitia?
No. Don't they mention it in Encounter?
I don't think so. I mean, have been on the plaque, but I mean, like, you know, that's, you know.
I don't know. I don't think they say leaving from Utopia Planitia in Encounter.
But the thing is, I actually was going to mention this, that we do get a very important backstory of the Enterprise. So that's super cool.
For that shot, that matte painting in the background of like the skeletal structure of the Enterprise, I think this episode's worth it.
Yeah. Super cool. All right. I guess we're keeping it for sure.
And when you think of this episode, Daniel, I want you to think of the essentialness of it.
All right. Keeping booby trap. Next up, the enemy. LaForge and a Romulan are trapped on a planet ravaged by electromagnetic storms. Worf turns out to be the only viable donor to save the life of an injured Romulan aboard the Enterprise. Oh boy, we like this episode, don't we?
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to think of like, why not to keep it as just to be more challenging.
That's true. I mean, you got Worf, his great role of, and his great choice of not, of choosing not to give blood. And then you have Geordi. Right.
No, because I think, go ahead, Darren.
No, we just said, and you have Geordi who MacGyvers his way out of a hole blind. Well, yeah, I don't think he was quite blind yet, but he's still, it was, and you have Picard doing the diplomacy stuff with the Romulans up above. I mean, it's firing on all cylinders.
Right. It's nacelles and EPS conduits, but yeah.
It's the nacelling on all EPS conduits.
but like to me, for some folks who want to see TNG as carpet, holodecks, and all the food you can eat, and it's not like the gritty, like, dude, Worf kills a guy, I mean, not literally, well, not even literally, I suppose, but I mean, this is not like a sweet ending. Like, Worf can save him. All he has to do is literally just, like, you know, donate some plasma or some blood. And he's like, nope. And that's the answer.
And
that's
Klingons
how it
are
ends.
Always cutting their hands. They're always giving blood freely. They're like, oh, hey, you know, how you doing, Bob? Let me cut my hand. Doot, doot, doot. But he says no.
Sometimes they're giving it away so much, it turns into Pepto-Bismol. but that's not a thing.
And, like, you have I don't know if that's the right word, but you just have that part where, you know, Worf's like, you could order me, sir, and if you order me, I'll do it. And Picard's like, Mr. Worf, dismissed. And you're like, oh.
That's Worf dropping the knowledge, like when Data says, you know, perhaps you feel it's not time for an android to, it's like such passive aggressiveness that Picard just shuts down.
Right. I mean, it's all about the Romulans. Now, I will say, there is some continuity here. Because almost all the Romulan stuff always gets picked up. Because this is... What planet is this? Because I feel like this is picked up in the Defector. Like, hey, remember when you saw us last time, Tomalak?
Or Galondon Call.
Exactly.
Galondon
Call.
So,
you know...
Yeah.
I'm not saying you need this episode just for that, because you can kind of just make up in your head what that reference is. But it does set up sort of the trilogy of, like, this and the Defector and...
Yeah. I'm good with keeping it.
But yeah, because yep. I think it's really, it's not a Geordi episode. Well, maybe it is. But anyway, I think it really shows off a lot of Geordi that we don't necessarily always see. So if you really care about LaForge, there's some essential Geordiness in this.
And it's nice, too, is that for, like, I think the only time, Wesley saves the day. So, you know, we don't ever get to see that. But okay, the enemy. So we're chugging ahead well above... 50% at this point. I mean, we're up here pretty high, but we'll see where we are at the end. Moving on, the price. The Enterprise hosts negotiations for possession of the only known stable wormhole.
I couldn't tell if we were sighing loudly or doing our
friend. Well, I think a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but I mean, just think of that
not a great episode.
Voyager episode that we can't use if we don't use
it. Did TTJ keep that episode? We might have to coordinate to figure out if we're...
Oh, man.
Because they can't keep that one.
I'm
those are the
sure.
rules of Trek FM.
I can't remember now. I don't think... I want to say no because it's not that great of an episode, but I want to say yes because something in the back of my head says that they kept it just because it was fun. But I think they did.
And I think for that reason, we have to keep it. We should look it up real quick, though.
Is this out of TT Trek FM continuity?
No,
we have
we don't
to keep
have
this.
To keep this one.
My oh, gosh. Yes, we do. If no, no. If TTJ kept this.
Dang it, Tristan and Char.
And I'd have to say yes.
Okay, and why?
because this is a real solid chance for them to get home. This is probably the closest that they've been to almost getting home.
That's true.
This is a wormhole, literally home.
Yeah.
They're like at the end, they're turning their ship and they can't keep up fast enough to go to the opening. And if they just were just a few, you know, 100 kilometers closer, they would have been home and then boom, gone forever. And the Ferengi make it home.
Yeah.
And it's just another kick in the pants. I think it's just, I don't know, because the whole mission is them trying to get home. How can we miss an episode where they almost make it home?
Yeah, you're right. All right. I suppose we got to keep this one.
False prophets.
Okay.
Tristan and Char, we went back and listened to that bit, and we know that you kept false prophets, so...
Yes, you kept false prophets.
And I'm just saying, Warp 5, remember this.
Yeah! So in honor of that, we are going to keep the price, so you guys can have your episode.
Yay!
And that was much rejoiced.
Well, guess what? This next one is gonna bring us back down a little bit. I am already predicting... The Vengeance Factor. The Enterprise tries to negotiate.
I don't. Yep. I forget this is an episode. I like never
all
watch
the time.
It. It's so bad.
Well, like to me, it's a weak story. Well, I don't want to besmirch anyone, but I'll just say not the most powerful episode. And then, like for me, with my confusion over Tryker, that's where like. You know, just Troy and Riker hanging out, and then like, hey, Luda, hey, come on over. Oh, and Dan's like, I should leave. I'm like, no, you're going to stay and watch me flirt with her. I'm like, God, you're such a creeper.
Riker does kill a person here, but that's whatever.
Right. Only after 3 shots. I mean, that's the TV rule. If you have to kill them.
Nope. We don't even need to waste any time. It's not the worst episode of all time, but there's nothing redeeming in it, and there's no reason to keep it. So
it's like bizarrely a Riker episode, but not really. Like it's actually weird because I think like Luta Zuda, whatever her name is, like it's actually her episode. Like I think she's the main character here, and you're kind of like, really should have been about us.
Nope, we're dropping it. Next up, The Defector. The Enterprise grants asylum to a defector from the Romulan Empire who claims to have vital information concerning a renewed Romulan offensive. Against the Federation. What do you guys think?
Where's the base, Admiral?
Well, there it sits.
Yes. It's a good episode, but it is good. I don't know.
Well, it's the sequel, I would argue, to The Enemy, because you have Tomalak in The Enemy, where.
Is it the trifecta of the Tomalak trilogy?
Right. And then you have in The Defector, where the roles are reversed. Except for some Klingon ex machina.
Nice.
But, gosh. Well, you know, it depends what you think about how essential Romulan storyline.
We've had a lot of Romulan storylines so far.
So far? This is only the third season.
So far.
This is like the third Romulan episode in the whole series.
Yeah.
It is
a good episode. I mean, we think we all agree that, but in the lens of essentialdom.
No, I don't.
You know
I don't
what?
Think it holds
it's
anything.
More. I would say no, because the main character is the guest star.
And he's a good character, for sure.
I mean, he's a good character, but really, you want the main characters of your episodes to be your people. And I'm saying it's just on the edge, because obviously, you get a lot of great Picard, you get a lot of great of our people doing things, but.
Listen, Darren, you can't tap dance on the edge of the neutral zone. You made your choice. You're a traitor.
I do. And again, you're talking, I love the Romulans. No doubt. Other than learning about how far they're willing to go just to expose one traitor, I don't think there's much here that we learn. I mean, we get to see the thing on the holodeck, but I mean,
Shakespeare, come on.
Yeah.
And Picard outmaneuvers him with the Klingon help, but.
And Picard.
Oh, I love that scene when they show up at the end. Yeah. But again, nothing.
And then Picard playing Picard in the holodeck.
Yeah. I mean, I love this episode. I love this episode, but it's not essential in any way. It's kind of a standalone. You could not watch it and not really miss anything.
I'm voting yes.
I'm voting no.
Sorry. I love you, Defector, and I'll watch you. But you're not on our list.
Who's the true Defector in this one, Dan?
The Hunted. While the Enterprise-D is reviewing a seemingly idyllic planet's application for Federation membership from a Zephyrin Cochran.
No. He has a mustache.
Okay. He's in the Witness Cochran. Protection Program or something.
It's all about the government's shameful treatment of its war veterans.
I'm trying to remember.
Not the best episode, but it definitely is right up there in Star Trek being a social commentary. I mean, it's a Vietnam War vet story, basically. But yeah, Phil, this is the one where, you know, and you get the great escape scene where the guy, like, apparently he has no life signs, so he escapes from his ship, and, you know, a lot of it's chasing after this guy, but then you also have the social commentary of, oh yeah, after the war, we just put them all on this prison planet, basically.
I don't know. It's really not a real, I mean, it's not memorable. Like, I don't disagree that was the attempt at social commentary.
It's a strong social commentary, but it doesn't mean it's essential. It just means it falls into that category.
I mean, like, you know, the season one Don't Do Drugs was a social commentary.
Right.
But we didn't keep that. So I'm actually going to say no. I think this is...
Yeah.
It's... I mean, don't be persuaded by me.
No, I'm just thinking.
But I can't really think of a... It doesn't really stay with me.
No. It was a no for me.
I mean, I don't know if something could be essential and not really stay with you. Unless it had some, like, random, like, continuity, like, we learned Picard was Prophet or something, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Boy, that would throw a wrench into things, huh?
No, I would actually throw that out and then live with that, but...
Speaking of episodes with strong social commentary, but maybe kind of teetering on the edge of should we keep it or not, The High Ground. Dr. Crusher is captured by terrorists who want to involve the Federation in their struggle for freedom.
Oh.
I mean...
go ahead. I'm uncomfortable with how Beverly is this episode. Because it's sort of like, we want to show both sides, which means they do, and then Beverly has this weird Stockholm syndrome of like, Jean-Luc, maybe they have a point. Jean-Luc's like, they tried to blow up your son and the ship. Beverly's like, but he's really cute. And I mean, like, it's just not, you know.
This feels like an episode from a video game where you have to push shift a lot.
There's nothing in it, though. I mean, I actually think it is fairly decent social commentary most of the episode. And I do really like the conversation that Picard and Data have regarding terrorism on the bridge. That was interesting.
But that doesn't make it essential.
That does not make it essential.
Because they were trying, I mean, and obviously the strong Irish angle here, but they were trying to sort of like make terrorism, you know, explore that issue. But like the guy's a...
Yeah, he wasn't a sympathetic villain. He was a bad guy.
Exactly. He's like, no, I would kill them again and I'd kill more. And like, okay, well then, okay. I mean, I got nothing for you, man.
I think we're all in agreement. That's going to be a four in a row from us of leaving behind.
Yeah, we're balancing out the equation.
Yeah, you know, we were rushing ahead for quite a while, but that's okay. We'll see what happens next.
We got winded.
Let's see what looks. That's what happens when you say yes to the price, and everything after that is no.
It was too far a price to pay.
Next up, Deja Q. Q is seeking asylum on the Enterprise after he has been thrown out of the Continuum and stripped of his powers.
Now, I did look up, and we did include the previous Q episode, Q Who, I mean, obviously, but we have so far kept every Q episode, just saying.
So then I say yes.
It's episode, well, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I when we get to...
He shows up Q, once a season.
We'll see what folks say. Actually, he slays low after this, actually. We don't see him for a little bit until Cupid. But anyway. But this is actually, I would say, if you're doing the long game, and especially I'm looking to you, Voyager, this starts to be some Q development.
That's true.
This is our first Q development, character development, because I would say...
Development?
That's right. What happens in this episode leads to Death Wish. Because, you know... right in here, Q gets sort of like has come to Q moment of where he's sort of like, okay, I'm going to be a good Q or a better Q. And so that sort of leads to the one we see in Death Wish, where he's like, now he's the by the book Q, and the other Q is the one who's loses his badge because he's off the case
loses
from Klausky.
His badge.
He's getting too old for this.
That's right. But so I think that's interesting. And also Tuvok brings it up during the trial. Like, wasn't it true that you were punished by the collective? And this is because of this episode. I think you have a lot of good Data moments. Data laughs. I
mean, Data laughs. So good.
Not that that's necessarily because there's other times that Data laughs that we could probably. But anyway, but not, I mean, I think there's a lot of Q-dom, Data-dom. It's good stuff.
Worf eating books. I mean, it's all good stuff. It's good.
You learn a little bit more about the continuum. I mean, a little bit, right? If you're interested in the Q-verse.
The Q-Q-verse.
Yeah, I think this is where we kind of get the best, until All Good Things, it's kind of where we get the best kind of idea of who Q is and like what matters to him kind of. And we always get a little glimpses of it, but what is he actually like and what really matters to him? So yeah, I say keep it for sure. Next up, a matter of perspective. When Riker is charged with the murder of a prominent scientist, each side uses the holodeck to show their side.
I don't remember the episode like that, Daniel. This is my version of it.
Oh. Nope.
The holodeck kissed me, okay?
You know, I would say just off the bat, no. I mean, I think I actually like it, but essential?
Yeah. Nope. I mean, you guys both know I really enjoy this episode for what it does with the holodeck, but it doesn't really, even with Riker, it doesn't really progress his character at all.
Well, I feel like it reveals how skeezy he is. Like,
oh, stop.
I feel like it's almost like, well, it's exactly like the Voyager episode, where you're kind of like, oh, wait, he probably did make out with her, didn't he? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, nothing really here, right?
Well, unless you're taking this as part of the Riker cautionary VHS collector set, which also includes the game. And,
that's a different series.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to season 5, 6. Can't remember. Next up, Yesterday's Enterprise. I'm not going to read the synopsis on this one, guys. I have a feeling we're all going to land on
really
the same side.
I don't see where it comes into essentialness of Star Trek.
I mean, are we looking into the future? Why are we talking about yesterday?
I mean, why? I mean, literally, I can't think of 1 minute that goes by in this episode where something kind of important doesn't happen. So,
right.
I mean,
and I agree because Daniel well knows that if he got rid of this episode, we couldn't have Sayla. And so I think to keep Yesterday's Enterprise.
I'll take the good with the bad. I'll take the Enterprise continuity. I'll take Captain Rachel Garrett. I'll take this Romulan Klingon, Genesis with Worf. Genesis with Worf? I mean,
call him Richard, yeah. Daniel.
The start of the establishment of Guinan's powers. I mean, there's just so much in this episode. It's ridiculous. Like and also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention Cetacean Ops.
And haven't we kind of discussed sometimes that this is kind of as close as to a mirror episode? I mean, you have parallels and other things like that, but this is kind of also a mirror episode where you see a very... It's like, it's not the mirror universe, but it's the Klingon War, and it's a militaristic federation and,
belts.
My gosh.
Yes. So yeah, we don't need to belabor the point. I think, it's not surprising. We're going to come down on a hard yes on Yesterday's Enterprise for sure.
Can you tell me about Tasha?
I could, but I couldn't remember her name. Next up, The Offspring. Data successfully creates a new android, which he views as his child. Now I'm a hard yes. Hard yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't remember Philip asking me if it was okay for us to talk about this episode, but
isn't this the one where Picard sort of does like the double face palm? And what's even my favorite part is that Data's like looking under his arms to see what's going on.
And it's the one where when we recently watched it, I remember being like, where's Riker in this? Like, he hasn't even shown up yet. Yeah, because he doesn't come in till like halfway through.
That's why. Because he directed.
No, I know, but I'm just saying because yeah. I remember when I was rewatching, I'm like, where the heck is Riker? Because you had that one moment.
When Frakes directs, he's going to make out
with
someone.
What are your intentions towards my daughter?
Yeah, no, it's obviously a great episode. That's not my...
Is it
my
essential to Data's development?
I think it is. I think it absolutely is, yeah.
Does he have to bring it up again?
You know, I don't think it's ever expressly kind of mentioned again. I don't think it's ever...
Pretty much once we got on the emotion chip train, that's all he talked about.
That's kind of all he talked about. It would have been nice for it to come up again, I think, for sure.
He talked about his Tasha more than he ever talked about his daughter.
Well, and yeah. I would say one of the other best scenes is... Was it the Admiral, when he comes out of the room and he's kind of retailing... Watching Data try to save Lal, and that I feel that scene right there is kind of the successor to Measure of a Man, where people in command are kind of get it. I mean, we all know that Data's amazing and what he is, but every once in a while,
what is he, Darren?
Every once in a while, the Admiralty needs to be kind of reminded of that. So yeah, I'd say keep it.
I mean, yeah, I would struggle, but I'm going to say yes because obviously it's great.
It is fantastic. Next up.
Sins of the Father.
Sins of the Father.
Yeah, Worf, I don't think it ever comes up again. I can't really think of when.
Yeah, it's more like launches this Klingon Civil War arc.
We see this go on until the end of Deep Space Nine. I mean...
So remember that Deep Space Nine. If we keep this, you have to keep...
you're allowed to exist.
After season four, it's just all in.
Yeah, so I mean, again, this is one of those things. It's just universe building on such a grandiose scale that you could not get rid of it.
This is Ron Moore, right? Because isn't he always the Klingon guy?
He's the Klingon guy.
Ronald D. Moore and W. Reed Moran,
whoever that was. But also, guys, this is also since we kept the other one that we talked about.
Which season?
On the Pach.
Vague.
The one we first talked, the first episode we ever talked about.
With Encounter Farpoint?
No. The Riker, the first thing we ever talked about.
No. It's not called Code of Honor. It's,
I know what you're talking about. The Klingon one.
Yeah. The On the Par.
Matter of Honor.
Matter of Honor.
So we kept that. We have to keep this. I mean, of course, those are very loosely, but later on, of course, with
are we keeping
Redemption.
All the Klingon episodes at this point?
No, we definitely aren't. Didn't. In fact, there are.
Well, not the first one. I meant the good ones.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we kept both Kalar episodes. Oh wait,
don't worry. We will hit some Klingon episodes. I have a very strong feeling we're going to leave behind because it gets so heavy-handed Klingon later on that it gets a little ridiculous. But I think, I mean, come on. Sins of the Father is solid. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, there's a huge relationship built here between Picard and Worf that is very significant later on as well. So,
and we know more about Khitomer, or not Khitomer, but...
Khitomer.
Yeah, but no, but what was the name of the planet that was... was that the... Oh, I'm confusing Narenda 3. Because that was a different thing. Okay. I sometimes mix up that Klingon outpost with Khitomer, but yeah.
Well, I think it's confusing because they use Khitomer from Star Trek
6. Yeah, that's why it's confusing.
As Khitomer. And it's like, Khitomer, we've picked another planet, but okay.
Nope. There's Praxis and Khitomer. That's it.
So, we're keeping that one. Next up, Allegiance. Captain Picard and three other people are abducted and imprisoned by an unknown force. And replaced by duplicates.
Picard singing. It's hard to not pass that up.
It's a good episode. I like this episode a lot.
Does it? Is it essential for developing Picard's character? Because it is a Picard episode.
Well, no. No, it's not.
Nope. Not at all.
Well, you do have some weird Beverly... You have some weird Prusher stuff.
Yeah, but that's only because he's not real the whole time. So, nope.
But he...
Sorry.
Yeah, it's... And it's an interesting premise. Yeah, well, you know, and I go beyond the essentialness of just continuity or character development. But, I mean, I don't know. I'll say I don't know, and then let you all decide.
I really like this episode, but, I mean, it's a solid episode, and But I mean, even in mixed with all,
introduces some interesting aliens.
Chow-na. A really cool alien.
Female
surrender aliens.
Bolian. Yep. Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Female Bolian. Yeah. We've never seen a female Bolian before.
Yep. Who turns out to be a fraud.
She's a
She
fake.
Turns out. She's she a turns fake. Out to be a McDuff. I say no. Yeah, I don't see any reason.
It's on the edge, but there's not one thing about it that's like, oh my gosh, this is essential. Like the word essential, the word good, the word great Patrick Stewart moments, but the word essential doesn't come to mind.
Next up, Captain's Holiday.
Okay, gotta keep Picard. Captain Picard in those shorts. My goodness.
Yep.
It's a damn sexy man.
Risa, Jamal Haran,
Vash.
Yeah. Vash, of course.
Yeah. Just the fact that Riker gives him that and doesn't tell him what it's for.
Oh, so good. So good. We get to see Rom for the first time as well.
Not really Rom,
though. It's still kind of Rom. It's still kind of
Rom. The man who became Negus.
That's, by the way, that was my favorite novel I had to read in high school.
The man who became Negus. Oh, yeah.
I say keep it. Again, Risa is a staple of Star Trek, and the 24th century Star Trek.
I don't know. The Risa collection is not a great one. I'm going to tell you.
Not that I'm saying. Yeah, the Risa episodes, very hit or miss, but they
mostly
do exist.
Miss. Let's be honest.
And we get a lot of references to Risa.
Well, you get what,
more
a
importantly,
day and a night in Enterprise.
Yeah. I saw that.
Dude, I like that episode. I actually kind of like that episode, but. I can leave the Deep Space Nine one behind for sure. But then, of course, Vash. We get Vash.
Right.
And we can't.
So that
we
means
can't leave.
We're keeping Cupid? Are you showing some foreshadowing here?
Well, I would keep Cupid.
I would keep Cupid as well. But, so. Yeah. So, oh, that's true. Okay. So just focusing on the introduction of Vash as this other flirt of Picard, this other foil for him, I think you got to keep it.
No. Yep. I'm on the yes train. Are you saying no, Philip?
I'll say yeah.
Okay. All right. There it is. Next up, Tin Man. The Enterprise races against Romulans to make
pedal
it
to the metal data
with a powerful entity codenamed Tin Man.
Yeah.
Nah. We get another Beta Zed, and we really get we get more every time we see Luxana though about their culture than we do from this guy.
He's the mayor of Sunnydale. Right.
I mean, he's like an outsider, even in their culture. So, we don't really learn much. There's some good stuff
the concept of a space. What's the word I'm looking for? The space alien,
space dwelling
creature.
Yeah, exactly. But we get that so many other times.
Yeah, we do.
Not really. Galaxy's Child. We'll get that.
Species 847.
I do like. I like the one scene. I'm always reminded of the one scene when he's talking to Data, and he's very comfortable with Data because Data he can't hear.
Oh,
Data.
Yeah. He like, I always thought that was cool. Like he would kidnap him like the most toys kind of, you know, that's that kind of relationship.
Daniel, I thought you were going to refer to your favorite moment of when the chair comes out.
No, come on now.
I mean the reverse
come
melt.
On now. Yes, so next up, we're leaving Tin Man behind. Next up, Hollow Pursuits. Lieutenant Barclay, an introverted diagnostic engineer, is having difficulties dealing with
his fantasies.
I'm just going
to say no on
fantasies.
Every Barclay episode to see how
is this
angry
the, is
make
this
Daniel.
The first Barclay episode?
Yes.
This is the
okay,
first Barclay episode.
You got okay, well, okay. Do we want this to be the introduction to Barclay?
Yes, we do. Of course
it
we
has
do.
To
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely.
Because it literally explains him.
It does.
And it's so much fun. It's so much fun.
I think we don't keep it and then don't keep First Contact because then it won't make
what
sense.
What are you talking about? Is that what we're going to do at the end of this? Right, like essential movies and we have four to
oh, we are
going to
hit essential movies, yeah. Oh,
it's going to be a short episode.
It'd be a feature.
No, it's not, actually. I think there's a lot we could say. But anyways, it doesn't matter. We're keeping it, right? I mean, do we all agree?
We can keep
it. Yeah.
All of our suits.
No, again, we'll say no, and then we have to.
I mean, our man Cliff Bowl, he's batting 1,000 right now. He's doing great. So.
Yeah.
So we've talked about quality.
Oh no!
What?
No. I'm trying to segue into the next episode. We've talked about quality episodes, and where do they land? So let's talk the most toys. Is that moment? I mean, because really, this episode builds up to the one. moment? And is that moment significant enough for Data to keep? I think that's what this episode falls to, but maybe you guys feel differently.
In this episode. There's that moment, okay. But there's also how the crew reacts to Data's death and how Geordi reacts.
Pretty badly, or pretty like dismissively. It'd be like, Geordi's the only one who cares.
That's
now,
true.
I will say, my interesting one is there is, and but it's very short, but I do appreciate that they took the time. You have Troy and Worf. Where she's like, you know, this is the second time you've taken over for a dead roommate. Like, that's the only way you get promotions, Worf. It's starting to look suspicious.
It's the Empire's way. Like, I mean, the Imperial Empire.
No, but I did think that was an interesting thing of where she just tried to deal with that with him. But,
you know,
I would say I don't see it, but I can be persuaded.
I'm torn.
I mean, it's really the episode to that launches, you know, Saul Rubinick's career in anyone knowing who he is in sci-fi, which is great. I mean, Warehouse 13, but it's not a, yeah, again, we it's a good episode. It's just, I don't know if it's essential, even for Data.
Yeah, I'm stuck on it because we finally get to see how far can
but
you push
But we see
Data.
Much more of that in, like, Descent.
Well, no, but Descent, he's being manipulated. So that's a little different,
true.
I feel like. And this is straight Data. This is where Data says, no, no more. But, I mean,
the line
whatever.
Will be drawn here.
Yeah.
Down to the millimeter.
I can see leaving it behind. That moment is so powerful to me. I would keep it.
Well, this
it,
isn't
but...
about what you leave behind, Daniel. It's what you keep.
All right. So are you guys saying we're dropping it?
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
all right.
I just don't want people to think season 3 would be 100%.
Was definitely not.
Oh, we're nowhere
point.
Near 100%. But but next up, Sarek.
Patrick Stewart's portrayal at all, just for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it says so in the title. I mean, the title is literally continuity. Yeah.
And
I
mean, Mark Leonard.
This is a bridge.
It's just, yeah. The performances make it essential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk much about this because this starts to bridge the gap between TOS and TNG. Obviously, we get to see the Sarek later on. Plays a major role. We're not going to get into it. Obviously, I think we all agree that's a yes. That's an easy pass for everybody involved. In fact, leads into 2009 Star Trek, which I love to remind people of every time we come around. Next up, Menage a Troi. A Ferengi Daimon kidnaps Riker, Deanna, and Luwax.
Now, I will remind you all. You were going to cancel every Loxana episode ever, and you said this would be the episode you would introduce.
Is
her
this in. The first one we would be?
No, because I talked you into keeping Manhunt, I believe. And
yes,
so
we
this
kept
would be
we kept
second
Manhunt.
Episode. But y'all were fighting me and saying this is the one you wanted to introduce her in. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's how you all already voted.
I love this episode. Actually, this is probably it's one of my favorites. I love Menage a Troi. I don't know if it's essential. I don't really know.
I mean, it's interesting with the, I think why we have such difficulty with her character episodes and being essential is that they're kind of their own institution of themselves. Like they impact.
Cute.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
now I would strongly argue this is a little meta, and by a little I mean completely meta.
No, that's the other podcast. And
oh,
this
sorry,
is Earl
sorry,
Grey.
Sorry.
Get off stage 9. My goodness.
I would strongly suggest keeping it just for the meme of Picard, you know, holding his arms out. Come on now, everybody knows it.
Oh, when he professes his love at the end.
Yes. I don't know. I don't really know if it's essential. I don't.
Now, here's a question. I want to throw this out there. Does this introduce Umox?
Oh, God. If it is, it's almost worth getting rid of just because of
that. I kind of feel like that would have been introduced in Captain's Holiday.
Oh, that's
I think Vosh uses that to her advantage in Captain's Holiday.
I can't remember.
But... I did write a dissertation on when Umox came into Star Trek.
I was just going to say, do you think Memory Alpha has a page entirely dedicated to Umox?
I'm sure that it does, but...
Does anybody know how to spell Umox? I thought it was...
O-O-M-A-X.
Oh, okay. I thought it was U-M-A-X. Let me try Umox. Oh my God. It's not only O... This is very Star Trek. It is not only O-O-M-A-X, listeners. It is O-O-M-A-X. Oh my God.
I thought there was...
Nope, Menage a Troy.
Here, but yeah.
Massaging the ears. It looks like it was Menage a Troy that it was, in fact. So I'm saying drop it. Drop this episode. Sorry. I love the episode. We can't keep it for that reason. What do you guys think? You guys hold the power.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's this is how we do all the Loxana Troy episodes. What's the next episode that she comes up in?
I think this is the last comic episode, I believe, of Loxana. They're all serious.
Half a Life comes next.
Well,
right,
except until the Alexander one. But that isn't really comics. It's not really serious, just is.
I would keep
also just for like a mother's episode.
It is serious because she ends up dropping the husband, so that is kind of serious. It's not really funny.
Like, if I'm gonna keep this or that episode, I'm gonna keep this episode. I really do like this episode.
And you get this. I mean, we want those essential viewers to have that great moment at the end where Picard professes.
And for those Triker people, this adds fuel to the confusing fire that they.
All right, we're keeping it just for the
together. But
just for
friends.
The Riker Troy. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
all right,
so
it's
weird.
Kept. It's official. We kept it. Next up, we got two more, guys. Let's just let's power through here. Next up is next up is Transfigurations.
Yeah, no, I'm saying no.
Nope.
I think it is. It's the John Doe of episodes.
A little on the nose.
We get one
there,
of the
Philip.
We get one of the goriest little scenes. Oh, I have a reason to keep this episode.
Okay, is this for the suit?
No, oh no, no, we don't want to keep it for that. This is the establishment of O'Brien's repeated shoulder injuries because of his kayaking on the holodeck.
Well, there's plenty of them left, Daniel. I don't think we can.
I'm just saying, this is where we established that's part of his character. No, that's not convincing. I know, it's not.
Which is, I feel bad. I feel like we're Beverly is not getting many episodes in our essential list.
Well, we haven't got to Remember Me yet.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see this one being essential. There's too much of unknown. Like, so much of the episode spent, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they're after you. I don't know why you can't remember. And
Ball of Light. This isn't part of the Ball of Light collection.
Okay. Next, Transfigurations. We're dropping it.
Yeah,
it's gone.
I think that's actually how the season ended, which is a little disappointing, I'm going to admit. I would have thought season 3 would have kind of been more of a bigger note, but what can you do? It's sort of the Shades of Grey season.
Maybe ended on some sort of a bang, perhaps.
Or more of a whimper.
Mr. Worf, fire. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. Best of Both Worlds, part 1. I mean,
part 2 or...
We've dedicated entire
now
episodes.
If we keep this though, you guys realize we have to keep,
we have to keep all the Borg episodes.
We're gonna have to keep First Contact.
No, I'm just saying part 2. We Descent. Can't if you're giving up the opportunity to get rid of that episode
and Family.
No, I think
and,
you can start off with Family and be really confusing what the heck was just going on.
Everyone's like, what happened? Oh man, it must have been bad. They don't even talk about it.
It's like the last thing I saw him do was go on vacation. Why is he so upset?
I mean, do we even have to talk about it?
No, we don't. So let's we're obviously keeping it, listeners. So let's take a look here.
Would you guys bet that this is the exact same count as season 1 for us? 15
really?
Yes, 11 no.
Wow, interesting.
We
are
consistent. Well, but again, remember, we're going with essentialness, so a lot of season 1 has to be kept to set up things.
Sure.
So I don't know what percentage that is, but...
Season 1 runs things.
All right, so I think, I don't know, is there anything else to say about season 3? You guys have anything else to say?
Is it the most essential season? What's our highest number?
It's tied with season 1.
Okay, so percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise, exactly.
Season 3, interesting. Again, I've mentioned before my love for season 3, but we had to leave a few good ones behind, I feel like. It's tough when you have to do that. but sometimes they're just really solid standalone episodes. It'll be interesting, like with the newer show, you know, obviously with like stuff like Deep Space Nine, but like the newer show, like I really wonder how much of this is even going to be anything a part of it at all. I don't think
it's going to be so linear.
It's going to be so linear. It's going to be so serialized that it's like you're not going to have it. And to an extent, I do think there is. I'm excited about that because, you know, that's kind of how storytelling is told now. But, you know, you look at all these episodes that we're dropping off that we really, really like.
If they,
you know,
plan ahead. I mean, we all hope is that of the 15 we kept, those are the 15 that aired. But we know that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
We know there's going to be the stinkers.
They're only going to have 13 episodes. So. Yeah. How many are we having in our season? So we're pretty much...
You know. But Essential, season 3 of TNG, is not the only thing we're talking about here on Trek FM. So have a listen to what else you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
The DNA of Star Trek fandom, and I've said it before, fandom existed, fandom enjoyed the show... But the main charge of fandom was to get the damn thing back.
Warp 5.
The Romulans had their ship in season 4 that had the holograms that made it look like any other ship. So you could theoretically retcon Minefield into saying they were using that same technology back then.
Literary Treks.
We have a long tradition here on Literary Treks of taking things seriously and having a good time while doing that. Tonight... Well, we were going to take it seriously, but then the comics wouldn't let us.
The 602 Club.
Yeah, I had a similar experience where, you know, I was talking to a guy, the new movie's coming out, obviously, and I'm like, have you seen the first one? And he's like, no, I haven't. And I'm like, okay, well, let me bring it to you so you can take a look. And he watched it, and he came back the next day, and he's like, oh, yeah, that movie was really good.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
You can listen to every show on the network at Trek.fm with links for iTunes, streaming services, and a direct download link. This week of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com. This is a great way for you to read all of the books you want to read but never have time for. Audible is always expanding with over 150,000 titles to choose from. There are classics, current bestsellers, and famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation. Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to try out Audible yourself. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. To support Trek FM, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. Thank you, Audible, for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. If you are a weekly listener and would like to directly help Earl Grey, please consider becoming a patron of Trek FM. At patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose a pledge level and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. You'll be inside the observation lounge of our network, able to participate in our monthly patron roundtable podcasts and supporting the production of all of our great content. We would like to take this moment to thank our current patron associate producers, Stephen Boyd and Ron Sarna. Thank you for supporting Earl Grey. Connect with other Trek FM listeners on our Facebook discussion group called The Babel Conference, found through the Facebook search field, or like the facebook.com/trekfm page for show updates and announcements. The network is also on Twitter, @TrekFM. All right, Philip, if people were looking for the best Umox technique, how would they get a hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter. My handle there is NC Public Servant. That's NC for no chance for better Umox than here.
Darren, where can people get a hold of you if they're like really hanging on the edge to see if we're going to keep Best of Both Worlds Part 2?
They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSciFi, Mr. Prue.
And people can find me on Twitter as well. And I am @OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. And guys, we will catch everybody next time on Essential. Not next week, because we'll be talking about something different, but we'll get back around to TNG Essential Season 4 at some point, and we look forward to it. But until then, engage.
Make it so.
Live long and prosper.
Fire.